Now George steals a pass and heads for the other end, where he throws down the right hand. Indiana is dominating a 14-point run.
It's time for Pacers Weekly.
And welcome into Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Something we are reminding you throughout all of the different programs that air on this station, we will not be on 93.5 FM for much longer, moving over to 107.5 FM at the end of March, start of April. So soon, get ready to move your dials back to 107.5 FM. It's where not only you can hear Pacers Weekly here on Saturday mornings, but also all Pacers games if you're listening to our flagship right here in Indianapolis. We'll be moving over to 107.5 FM. The Pacers falling to the Denver Nuggets, 125-117. That was last night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Pacers went into the fourth down 19 points. They put up a 42-point fourth quarter, their most points they've scored in a quarter this season. But Denver added 31 of their own, the Nuggets scoring at least 30 in all four quarters last night. And clearly a team that the Pacers struggled to defend. It was the story out in London, the story last night as well, a team you don't see as often out in the Western Conference, with a lot of good young talent, and that's led by Nikola Jokic, who had 30 points and 17 rebounds last night. Also had 5 assists. He's 22, one of the premier young bigs in the NBA, in that class that Miles Turner also is a member of, and he had maybe his best night as a pro last night all around. He's never had a 13 and 17 night until last night, but he had plenty of help. Wilson Chandler with 24, Danilo Gallinari had 21, Indy product Gary Harris with 10, and that Nuggets bench is solid, and they got good production from it, led by Will Barton. He had 10. Paul George led a frenzied comeback. Indiana trailed by 22 with 10 minutes to play, and they trimmed the deficit to 5 when they had a good defensive possession, and then Jokic buried a 3 in the face of Turner. The Pacers were on their way back, and it was led by George, who finished the night with 27 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Miles Turner, on his 21st birthday, added 20 points and 4 rebounds. Jeff Teague with 21 and 8. The Pacers offensively were just fine, 117 points. Monte Ellis had 17 off the bench. Aaron Brooks added 11. Glenn Robinson the third out with a calf strain. It was simply the defense. There's really no bones to pick anywhere with the Pacers' offensive game. They shoot 51%, 54% from the three-point line. One major problem, though. The Nuggets hit 40 free throws. The Pacers hit 8. The Nuggets were 40 of 43 from the line last night. And it clearly goes without saying, very difficult to overcome a 32-point disparity on the glass. The good news for Indiana, the teams behind them lost. Chicago and Detroit continue to struggle, which means at least as it relates to the Pacers' playoff picture, they stayed in the same position in relation to one of the two teams that has to catch them. However, the Bucks won last night over the Hawks, so Milwaukee has now moved into a tie for fifth, a tiebreaker Atlanta currently holds, but those two are tied at 37 and 35 for fifth. The Pacers are one game back, holding seventh down by themselves. They're a game ahead of Miami, who is in eighth position. One of the next two teams has to catch them and pass them, either Chicago or Detroit. And both of those two teams lost last night, both bad losses. Chicago losing at home to the 76ers, and the Pistons were dominated in Orlando last night. So the Pacers still with a 2.5 game advantage on the Bulls and the Pistons. The Bulls would need to catch Indiana. The Pistons would need to pass them because the Pacers hold tiebreak over the Pistons. The Bulls hold tiebreak over Indiana. Coming up next, the Pacers host the Philadelphia 76ers. That's on Sunday, a 6 o'clock tip. We're in the midst of 3 straight at home on Tuesday. The Pacers host the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's at 7. You can be at those games by visiting pacers.com/tickets or the Bankers Life box offices. If you cannot be there, pregame for the 76ers begins at 5:30 for a shortly after 6 o'clock tip coming up on Sunday. A great show, as always, planned for you. You will hear from your usual slate of guests, Mark Boyle, Eddie White, Mark Monteith, Jeremiah Johnson, and more coming up on the program. We would love for you to be a part of it. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. You can tweet us in a question, And you can also call in. 317-239-1070 is the number to talk Pacers basketball. We are with you for the next hour or so on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. Normally, if you're with us every Saturday morning, we talk to Jeremiah Johnson at the very end. He's covering high school basketball. The state finals are at Bankers Life Fieldhouse here this morning, so we will chat with JJ coming up next. This is Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Miles Turner. We're proud that Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM and 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. You usually hear from Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter at the end. Switching things up, you've got high school basketball today, so we appreciate you joining us here at the beginning of the show. How are you doing?
Great. It's awesome to be here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and getting set to cover four state championship games. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Jeremiah, you were out in London. I would guess that you are pleased that the Denver Nuggets play their games mostly out in the Western Conference.
I tell you what, I thought Chris Denari made an accurate point during the broadcast that it almost felt like a Pacers-Bucks game of this season because the Nuggets play a little bit like the Bucks, and from what we've seen from both the Bucks and the Nuggets this season, it's a matchup that doesn't benefit the Pacers too well, just with the way they get after it and the way they their length at times. And, the Nuggets in two meetings, the Pacers haven't had much chance. Now, in the fourth quarter, the way the Pacers played, they got back into it. So if they just could have played with that intensity and sense of urgency, to borrow one of Nathan Millen's terms, in the beginning, they could have been closer. But Denver, I have a hard time thinking they're the eighth seed in the Western Conference the way they've been playing.
Something you brought up on the postgame show last night, which I thought was probably pretty accurate. We were also watching that Atlanta-Milwaukee game, and initially I was thinking probably good if Atlanta wins that game for the Pacers, but Milwaukee has tiebreak, and the way Milwaukee and Atlanta are trending, those are the two teams right above Indiana. Maybe better if the Bucks just go run away and hide and the Pacers take their shots at the Hawks for that sixth spot.
For the last couple of weeks, I've had my eye on the Hawks, thinking the Pacers could possibly get up to that fifth spot. But when you know they've got that three-game road trip, and when the Pacers have been unable to have any consistency, it looks like six is maybe the optimum goal, and the Pacers have a chance to beat the Hawks one more time and clinch the tiebreaker, and it looks like Atlanta is reeling just a little bit. So I think the main thing is make sure you don't play the Bucks in the playoffs, I think, as much as any other team. But Milwaukee looks like a good chance to be that fifth seed, and maybe the Pacers will fight out Miami and Atlanta and the other team I'm thinking of there is seventh, but fighting for that sixth spot would be the goal. And really the next two games I think are really, really important, Pat, because they're home games against non-playoff teams. You just have to get these two wins. Just 10 games to go.
Yeah, let's talk about these next two games coming up. Philadelphia is next, then Minnesota. Two young teams. Minnesota certainly on the rise. Philadelphia may be in that direction, but they've been decimated by injury. You would have liked to take all three here on this home stretch, but I kind of think you get two out of three, and you're not cemented into the playoffs, but you put yourself in a really strong position. Your thoughts on the playoff picture?
I would agree, especially given what happened last night and what happened this week with Detroit and Chicago, the teams that are currently 9th and 10th. If neither one of those teams show any signs of life in the next week, you almost are going to maybe get a playoff spot by default, but you don't want to earn it that way. You don't want to back in. You want to go into the playoffs with a little bit of confidence. And I think that you've really, in these final 10 games, I mean, even last night people were saying, all right, 10 to go, how many can they win? And, you know, as someone who's seen this team all season, it almost seems like 5-5 is the way they'll go, and they'll finish 41-41. I think in December, when the team was unable to put together, you know, winning streaks or losing streaks of more than two games, you just thought, well, this team has been right around that 500 mark all season. They'll probably be 500 when all is said and done. And I don't think 41-41 was the goal for anybody when this season started. But given what's happened to Detroit and Chicago, I would say that's probably good enough to make the playoffs. You don't want anybody in that locker room thinking about the next 10, though. They just got to worry about Philadelphia, because 76ers, that would be a bad loss. You just got to get that win on Sunday.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. I know your brain right now from a broadcast standpoint are in these high school games you're about to do, but I'd like to ask you to look forward to that Sunday game and what the fans have to look forward to on Fox Sports Indiana. It's a 6 o'clock tip, so you will start at 5:30.
Yeah, and in Pacers Live pregame, we'll actually look back on some of these state championship games, because as you know very well, the 107th Boys Basketball State Finals is presented by the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever, and Fox Sports Indiana is a partner as well. So we'll try to share some highlights and reactions from the day at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and I know Ken Sothman will be there at practice today to help get some reactions and kind of figure out where this team is with 10 games to go. You'd like to think that they would have a little bit better feel of everything, and I think we'll look at how the rotations went with Glenn Robinson III injured and what options Nate McMillan has, and does he have to make a change in the starting lineup. Eddie Gill will be with me, and we'll have quite a bit to talk about, as always, at 5:30.
Jeremiah Johnson, what do you got going on today at the Fieldhouse?
four basketball games. I think you heard the cheerleaders, and I tried to get a little bit of a quiet space for the rest of this interview, but right now it's Tinley and Lafayette Central Catholic, and, you know, the coverage starts on Fox Sports Indiana at 10:30. I know 1070 The Fan has coverage all day as well, but of the four state championship games, I think they are all going to be close competitive games. Just the way the matchups, Drew, you've got the two favorites in Class A meeting, and then in 2A, it's a couple of maybe unlikely stories with Crawford County here in 2A coming out of Southern Indiana. It should be a fantastic day, but I think all of the games will be really close.
All right, we will
against Crawford County there in the 2A game.
Jeremiah Johnson, thanks for your time here this morning. We will let you go to work. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Pat.
All right, that's Pacers TV host and sideline reporter Jeremiah Johnson joining us here on Pacers Weekly. Coming up next, we will hear from Pacers play-by-play voice Mark Boyle. He sits down with head coach Nate McMillan. That conversation is next on Pacers Weekly.
It takes years of hard work, dedication, and practice to make it to the NBA. But did you know that over 30% of NBA players have experience playing or started their careers in the NBA D League? Just like the players with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Now's your chance to see these professional players as they begin their journey toward the NBA. And you don't have to go to Fort Wayne to see them play. Catch all the Fort Wayne Mad Ants games live on Facebook Live. For a schedule of games or more information on Facebook Live, visit FortWayneMadAnts.com.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Aaron Brooks. We are proud that the Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. As always, we are live in downtown Indianapolis on The Circle. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning here in Indianapolis. We've yet to hear from Pacers play-by-play voice Mark Boyle. We will hear from him a couple of times throughout this show. First, with head coach Nate McMillan. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. The season, at least the regular season, Nate, winding down. And as you see the finish line coming and get a little bit better idea of how you're positioned, even though it's still very much up in the air. How would you assess your team's chances of making the playoffs right now?
50-50. We've been playing 500 basketball really here since the All-Star break. And, you know, just you got to find that consistency in our play. There are nights when we are sharp on both ends of the floor. We're disciplined in the things that we need to do. And then there are nights where we just don't show that discipline. We go back to what we think should work as opposed to what has worked for us. And, you know, committing to change and committing to, you know, playing that team basketball is something that we continue to work to get our guys to do.
It's interesting sometimes what triggers change or what triggers guys into getting the right things done. And you talk about being committed to a certain thing or a certain concept. With the playoffs looming, do you think that urgency might be enough to get everybody on the same page?
Well, you certainly will hope so. And we expect that to be the case, that you got to come with that sense of urgency when you look at the standings and you see how close this race is for the 6th, 7th, and 8th spot. You know, it's only a game or two difference in teams that are in and teams that are out. So you certainly expect players to recognize that and bring that sense of urgency. But we've just seen just inconsistency with our group from night to night in bringing that, at times, sense of urgency, that discipline that is needed. Certainly on the road, you know, we've been doing some good things and we've been able to win games at home. We're going to continue need to do things like that. But on the road, we kind of just go off on our own and, you know, figure that we know what's best for us as opposed to as a group, what has just worked for you continuing to do that.
How frustrating is that from a coaching perspective?
Well, it's a head scratcher when you we're showing ourselves what we have done and we've done well and it has worked for us, and then the very next night we go out and we totally go off page as far as the things that we need to do. You know, very similar to the Boston game where wasn't a lot of ball movement, a lot of standing, a lot of one-on-one play. The communication breakdown on the defensive end of the floor. You know, we gave up a 39-point quarter. That shouldn't happen this time of the season.
This is a little off topic, but I've wondered about this, and we've never really gotten around to it. Like all coaches, you've changed your rotations as the season has progressed, tinkered here and there. Not interested, for the sake of this conversation, Nate, with the specific individuals, but just on a general level, when you decide to make changes, what goes into that? Is it analytics? Is it the eye test? Is it input from management? Is it a conversation with the player himself? Can you help us understand how you go about deciding to make changes?
Well, you know, sometimes it's all of those things you just spoke about. You know, it could be analytics. It could be matchups. It could be injuries. You know, I think what has happened with us, a lot of it has been due to injuries to our guys and putting guys in rotation. Those guys have played well for a short period of time, and now we have guys, everybody back, and you're trying to find a rotation that is productive. Part of the challenge is when players are not separating themselves, meaning you're going out there and you're earning those minutes. And it's no decision really that needs to be made far as almost playing roulette when you're changing your rotation. But if a player goes out there and earns the minutes and he's productive, you don't have to look at that rotation. But when we have the inconsistency that we've had throughout the season at pretty much most positions, where guys are playing well for a game or two and then for a game or two, they're not. You're constantly moving pieces or moving players to try and find something that will stick and work for you.
We've talked a little bit about this before, but as it relates to that specific topic, does having been a player and maybe having gone through that at some point in your career help you understand a little bit better what these players are going through? And if so, does that influence the way you do things?
No question about it. You know, and part of it, you don't want to change for the sake of just changing, because you want to give guys an opportunity to, when they play well, to get out there and play and not feel like, if they make a mistake, they're going to be taken out of the rotation, or from game to game, you don't know what your role will be. So certainly plan and understanding that, you know, guys are comfortable and coaches are much more comfortable when they know they have a set rotation. But when we have, you know, guys who play well for 5, 6, 7 games and then 5, 6, 7 games, you don't hear about them or hear anything from them. We have 15 guys that have done some pretty good things this season. And, you know, Glenn Robinson is one of those guys who kind of earned some minutes this season. And with the injuries that we've had, we've kind of gone to a 10, 11-man rotation. You can't play 11 guys, so it's very difficult to do that. So sometimes from night to night, we will see what we have in the first half or what we're getting from our guys. And if we feel like we just need to put someone out there to try to get more, I've gone to that.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he so often does on these Saturday morning programs. Pacers in the midst of a 3-game homestand. Sunday night's game is against Philadelphia, then Minnesota comes in on Tuesday. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's turn things back over to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, thank you. Coming up next, it's time to go around the house with Eddie White. The high school championship basketball games for the boys' side are at Bankers Live Fieldhouse this morning and tonight, so we sit down with Bobby Cox. Eddie White, Bobby Cox, next on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
NBA League Pass.
Let's go!
Your courtside seats in the action from around the league.
Curry deep three. Good!
See it happen live. Catch the games on your TV and computer. Stream them on your devices with the new NBA app. Watch live games from wherever you are.
Oh, you don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
Every NBA night is a can't-miss night. To order NBA League Pass, go to nba.com/leaguepass. Call 855-NBA-LPLP or contact your TV service provider.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Come to Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Saturday, May 27th for the greatest music and racing. Grammy-winning artist Keith Urban.
It's gonna be a long, hot summer. Wish you'd been together.
See him live the day before the Indianapolis 500 presented by Pengrade. With special guests Dustin Lynch and Clayton Anderson. On Legends Day presented by Firestone. Keith Urban, live May 27th. Ticket prices increase May 23rd. Reserve your tickets now at IMS.com.
Pacers Weekly continues on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. The boys' high school state championships taking place at Bankers Life Fieldhouse right now. It's been an extremely busy facility. Eddie White goes around the house every week, finds someone interesting to talk to, often topical, certainly the case this week. IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox. Eddie?
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. Wait, last week we had Jim Nance. He's a legend. I had to follow up with another legend and a busy legend. He is the commissioner of the IHSAA, and we know what's going on today at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Our good buddy, the great Bobby Cox. Commissioner, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eddie. Thank you.
Commissioner, I know you have a lot of great days during the year with all the different sports that you have to handle, and you have the crazy days with all the nutty parents like me bothering you, but this has to be one of the special days because it's basketball, it's Indiana, it's Indianapolis, it's Bankers Life Fieldhouse, it's the IHSAA.
It is. It's Hoosier Hysteria, and we've got four great games today. Eight schools that are very excited to be a part of our championships, and we're looking for great crowds and great enthusiasm in the arena.
I talked to Jim Nance from CBS last week, and the reason I did is because he said he's done more events in Indianapolis than any other city he's ever done an event in. And he loves coming to Bankers Life for the Big Ten Championships. And then this week, you know, talked to the coaches the other day. They want to come to this building. They like this building. Gordon Hayward was here the other day and had his career-high 38 points on a court that he won a state championship on. People like coming to this building, especially your teams.
Well, our schools are very fortunate that they have the opportunity to play at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, arguably the best basketball arena in the United States. Our partnership with the Indiana Pacers and Indiana Fever allow that to occur. And without their great support, it would be very difficult for us to continue. So with the support of the Pacers and the Fever and the Fieldhouse, a great opportunity for our membership to play in arguably the best arena in the country and experience a great atmosphere and play for a championship.
Before I talk about the games today, and boy, we got some matchups, especially the one late in the day is going to be one that you cannot miss. It's heavyweight championship of the world. What's the most pressing thing out there today for intercollegiate athletics? You and I have talked privately many times. I have a wife who's a high school coach, and I have a son who's an high school athlete, so I see it from both perspectives. Is there one thing that's the most challenging thing out there to either yourself, the administration, or the schools?
Well, I think the most challenging thing we have, which is an ongoing challenge, is to make sure that we keep education-based athletics in its proper perspective. Our programs need to be subservient to the academic missions of our schools. These are school-aged children. These are kids that are getting an education to prepare themselves for the next stage of their life, whether that be a four-year school, a two-year school, going into the job force, going into the military and protect our freedom so we can play these games. Whatever it might be, our job is to make sure they're ready, and that is to make sure that academics stays in front of athletics and that athletics is subservient. And so that's our biggest challenge, to make sure we keep our priorities right and prepare these young people for the next step of their life.
That does not sound easy. That sounds like a very difficult task. That's almost one that's 24/7, 7 days a week, that there's no finish line. You're always working on this cause.
Well, there is no finish line because there are so many pressures that young people are under today, and parents are under too. The cost of education beyond the high school level, and how are we going to do that? That brings in the notion of scholarships and things of that nature, and who's going to give us the best offer, and so on and so forth. At the end of the day, you can look at any statistic you want to, the number of young people that play professional sports in the sport they've chosen to play in versus the number that play in high school is minuscule. I mean, it's like less than 1%. So you better be prepared to do something else. You might be lucky enough to go to college and play, and that's great. But the reality is, once college is over, your athletic career is probably over too. So you better have done something to get ready for that next phase of life. And that's what our job is, to make sure young people are ready to move on. And so I think that's the biggest challenge we have.
As you're saying that, I couldn't help but think our great athletic director at Notre Dame when I was up there was Gene Corrigan. Mm-hmm. And he used to always say, people ask me, who do I work for? He goes, I don't work for the Subway alumni. I don't work for the coaches. I work for the student athletes. And you and your staff certainly do that. You guys really have, you look out for the welfare of those kids, even when they don't know that there's someone looking out for their welfare.
You know, there's 160,000 student athletes in the state of Indiana that choose to participate in our programming in 410 member schools. And that's our charge. You know, our charge is to look out for those student athletes and those member schools and make sure that we're addressing the qualities that need to be addressed and that we're adhering to our principles and our purpose.
There's a PR guy and a father of an athlete in your association and a husband of a coach in your association. More people need to know this messaging. More people need to hear what you're telling me, and we got to get the bait. But let's talk about these games today. You got a big one right out of the gate this morning. It's coming up in about a half hour. Tinley's been kind of a Cinderella story. People are talking about Tinley like crazy.
They are, and they kind of remind me of a Metropolitan team we had a few years ago that came and won the state in the 1A classification. A charter school here in Indianapolis, not been existent as a school very long, and they're now on the doorstep of a state championship for the first time in the school's history. They're playing a really good Lafayette Central Catholic team. I had the opportunity to see them play last Saturday in Lafayette at the Semi-State. Very well coached. Dave Barrett does a tremendous job. They got great athletes. It should be a great contest.
And then the second game of the session?
Well, we got Crawford County. It's kind of an interesting story. This will be the first team sports state championship they've ever participated in for a state title. I think everybody in Marengo is going to be here. And Frankton's been here a couple years ago. They're back. Another two well-coached teams. Kind of similar in style, too. It'll be interesting to see the battle of wills, to see how that goes. But anticipate a great crowd and anticipate a great basketball game.
So then we take a break. We get something to eat. We take a deep breath. Then we come back for, holy smokes, get ready.
Yeah, you got Twin Lakes, again, another school that's never been to the state championship in basketball. And then Indianapolis Crispus Attucks. And the history and tradition of Attucks, and you think back to those great teams of Oscar Robertson and Willie Merriweather and those guys in the 50s. And now they're back. I think there's going to be a lot of Indianapolis crowd here. Those kids have played really well this year. They're fun to watch. They get up and down the floor. I think it's going to be a great basketball game between those two schools.
And just when you think you got two great games in the morning and the early afternoon, and then you have this great historical significance, but Crispus Attucks, you think, wow, I've had a full day. Then you got, what a matchup of coaches, style. I mean, this is one that, I mean, if you're coming down to Indianapolis on Saturday, you got to come see all these games, but this fourth one's going to be through the roof.
Well, somebody told me this is Ali Frazier. That's what this last game is. It's a heavyweight championship, two conflicting styles. Northside's going to want to get up and down the floor, and Coach James at Ben Davis is going to want to control the tempo and hammer it inside. And it's going to be a battle of wills, but these are two extremely talented basketball teams. A lot of excitement around this game, and, boy, I couldn't pick one. It's going to be probably the last possession.
Well, I know for a fact that this building and all of us here are so thrilled to have you guys here today. We loved having the girls here a couple weeks ago. We believe it's the best basketball game, the arena in the world, and we love hosting you guys. You're great partners of ours. I know I drive you crazy sometimes, but that's on a personal side, but we love having you guys, and let's go watch some games.
We will do it. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it.
How about that, Patrick? He's the man. He's the commissioner. He's not only a great commissioner, he's a great guy, and we love them. We absolutely love the IHSAA. Patrick, I'm going to go watch some games. Back to you.
All right, Eddie and Bobby, thank you so much. Eddie White going around the house tracking down the IHSAA commissioner. The Fort Wayne Mad Ants, just like the Pacers, are closing out their schedule. They've been on a nice run recently, 28-19 on the season. The Mad Ants at 7 o'clock tonight take on the Grand Rapids Drive. That game is in Grand Rapids. And you can watch all Fort Wayne Mad Ants games absolutely for free. You just follow them on Facebook. And they stream all the games to Facebook Live. Some of the Pacers go there back and forth throughout the season. That's not the case now. But former Pacer Tyler Hansborough is there. So just sign up for, like them on Facebook, like the D-League on Facebook. And you can watch all of the Pacers D-League affiliate games for absolutely nothing on Facebook Live. Well, we heard from Mark Boyle a moment ago. Time to hear from him again coming up next. He sits down with Jazz play-by-play voice David Locke. The Jazz are kind of dubbed as Indy West. So many guys from Indianapolis or with Indianapolis ties. That's part of the conversation you will hear after the break with Mark Boyle and David Locke on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, So look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Stevie Nicks, the 24-karat gold tour, live in Indianapolis. With the Pretenders.
Now we're back on the train. Back on the chain gang.
Together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Yeah, rings like a bell through the night. What you love to love her.
March 29th. Night only. Two rock icons. Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders. Reserve seats on sale now at Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office, LiveNation.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Now together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Don't miss Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders.
Thank you.
The Utah Jazz in town earlier this week. You're listening to Pacers Weekly. I'm Pat Boylan. Jazz in town on Monday. The Pacers getting one of their better wins of the season against Utah, a team who appears headed for a first-round home series out west. They have plenty of Indianapolis influence. Their play-by-play voice is David Locke. He sat down with Mark Boyle to discuss some of that Indy flavor in Salt Lake City.
His evolution, I think, is one of the great stories of the league. George brought his Eastern Conference championship experiences and everything that he did here to a team that desperately needed it. We were terrible late in games, had no idea how to finish games until George came. Shelvin is the consummate pro, the kid that came out of Lexington, Kentucky, that had the Hoosiers moment where he went and saved his head coach's job by running a petition around, was a natural leader at 16 years old, and I think he's shown a lot of that. And then Trey Lyles is just an incredibly skilled kid. Quite frankly, he's in the midst of the horrors of being a sophomore in the NBA on a really, really good team, but the organization still loves his skills. So these are key pieces. I think Shelvin Mack is, one of Quinn's favorites from his time in Atlanta, and Gordon is the cornerstone of the franchise.
Interesting to note the way the Jazz do business. They'll sign the occasional free agent or make a trade, but a lot of their guys come there through the draft, and they typically have a lower payroll than most teams. So I'm wondering, as these guys come up, some sooner rather than later, what you think the chances are that those guys might stay.
So the last comment you made is actually a myth that is propagated by the national media endlessly that's actually not accurate. We paid the luxury tax when we had the Carlos Boozer, Darren Williams team. We just haven't actually had a team that's been good enough since Stockton Malone that's worthy of paying the luxury tax. When they have had it, they did pay it once. So I don't think there'll be an issue of paying the players for their production value. I'm not sure that our general manager's big into paying for market value. And if you look at most of the teams that went and played market value last offseason, they all have serious problems. And we've seen numerous trades this regular season of teams that overpaid last offseason. So if a player far exceeds his market value, his production value, I don't think we'll pay it. But Gordon Hayward can have whatever he wants. I'll tell you that right now. We would love to keep him. If he's the designated player exception, we'll pay him the designated player exception, I would expect. If he's the if he's not, we'll give him every cent I think he can have. He's earned that. He's just been terrific. I mean, you guys have one of these great wing players in Paul George, and that gap between the two is not as big as it once was, if it exists at all anymore. Gordon's been that good.
And George Hill has really played well, too. Statistically, the best season of his career, even though he has had some issues staying in the lineup. Do you get the sense that as you are around the team every day, that he enjoys it there?
Yeah, I think so. I also think he's got a huge decision to make that I'll never in any way criticize a player for. He's 30 years old. He's got probably his last major chance on free agency. If he signs a 4-year deal, he's not going to have another one. And with the market as what he is, he may decide it's time to get his payday. He, frankly, has never had it. His last deal here was an $8 million deal, which I'm thinking you probably would think would be all right for you and it'd be fine for me. But for an NBA player, that's I think that's below the average salary in the NBA right now. So he, if you think about that, George Hill in his career has never had a salary above the league average. I think he probably would like to get a huge payday, and he may take that somewhere in this offseason. The question he's going to have to make is, do I just want all the money I can get in my last deal? Do I want a good situation? Or do I want to really take a pay cut and go to some dream situation? You know, those are the three choices he probably has. We're probably the middle choice of those two, and we certainly hope he decides to stay in Utah.
And you mentioned also Trey Lyles, who, as you say, has a lot of physical ability, but he's not that far removed from high school, so he's still a work in progress. What's your sense of how the Jazz, the coaching staff, and the front office feel about him?
I think they expect him to be a major, major piece of this organization, and probably, you know, playing 25, 30 minutes. What he's going through right now, I'm stunned it doesn't happen more often, right? He wins the state. He's a state player of the year here, I think. He won the state championship. He goes to Kentucky. He's a McDonald's All-American. He plays there. He comes in. He has his first year in the NBA. He's pretty good. And now we're really good. And so there's not as much time for him. And all of a sudden, he cannot figure out what to do when he's playing 9, 10 minutes a night, which, frankly, I don't blame him. He's never had to do it in his life. And then you got coaches telling you, well, defend and rebound. And he's got to be thinking to himself, like, wait a sec, those are the two least good things I do. Why can't I do everything else? And once he gets free again, he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him at all. But right now, he is just having what the sophomore. There's a reason why there's a cliche called the sophomore slump. It's real.
It's a little bit unusual, I think, for a team to have such a high concentration of players from a specific area. And so I'm wondering, when you came into Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Monday, even though they'd all been here before, was there any sense of unusual reception, not from the crowd, but did the other guys in the team talk about it? Did the players visit amongst themselves about it?
So it's around our team. I don't remember what city. I think it might have been Los Angeles, but I'm not sure. There was one night where I walked through the locker room, and George and Gordon were suddenly telling stories about. And what's interesting about it is you have three different really generational players, because George just enough older than Gordon that they didn't play against each other, and Trey's just enough younger than Gordon that they didn't play. So they're all telling stories about guys that the others have heard about, but no one's actually ever played each other. Then the other thing is, frankly, George was more of an inner city kid. Gordon was a suburb kid, and I don't quite get where Trey was, but I think it's almost a third part of the town. I don't want to be inaccurate on that. So I don't even think they were even in the same divisions of where they played, or even 4A, 5A, 2A. They're all just kind of different. And so there's definitely locker room talk at times throughout the season of the legacy of Indiana basketball, and George saying, oh, you should have seen this guy, and Gordon saying, oh, I remember this guy, and, you know, I figure it all probably gets back to the Plumleys and them, you know, at some point. No, I'm just kidding. But so anyway, it takes place. You know, we practiced at Baker's Fieldhouse, at Hinckley Fieldhouse the other day to give the guys that experience, and then And George, you know, hasn't been back here as a visiting player in a long, long time. It's since he was a Spur. So, and you can see, as you know, as we talk here before the game, Trey Lyles and his mom, Trey Lyles' dad and mom are down courtside, and we're in here early with Trey. So there's definitely a different feel for the guys, and I think they're all excited to be back here.
David Locke is the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, kind enough to stop by and spend some time with us, sharing his insight on the impact the guys from Indiana have had on the Utah Jazz. I'm Mark Boyle. We turn it back over to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and David, thank you. The Indiana Pacers in action next tomorrow night. Two home games coming up. It starts Sunday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 Kroger pregame show if you cannot be there, but we would love if you could join. You can do that by visiting pacers.com/tickets. Then again on Tuesday, you only see the Minnesota Timberwolves once per year, and they're kind of on a pace where every time you see them, their top players are going to look potentially significantly different. So much young talent out in Minneapolis right now. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns. LaVine, unfortunately, is hurt, but still a ton of talent in Minnesota, and a team you only get to see one time per year. That's on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. Sixers coming up next on Sunday. Coming up next, we will have Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. He'll wrap up the game last night and look at the playoff picture coming forward. Mark joins us live next on Pacers Weekly.
It takes years of hard work, dedication, and practice to make it to the NBA. But did you know that over 30% of NBA players have experience playing or started their careers in the NBA D-League? Just like the players with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Now's your chance to see these professional players as they begin their journey toward the NBA. And you don't have to go to Fort Wayne to see them play. Catch all the Fort Wayne Mad Ants games live on Facebook Live. For a schedule of games or more information on Facebook Live, visit FortWayneMadAnts.com.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Stevie Nicks, the 24-karat gold tour, live in Indianapolis. With the Pretenders.
Now we're back on the train. Back on the chain.
Together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. March 29th.
Take from me my
live for one night only. Two rock icons. Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders. Reserve seats on sale now at Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office, LiveNation.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Now together at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Don't miss Stevie Nicks with the Pretenders.
Thank you.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. If you miss any of the show, we've had some interesting interviews, of course, with Nate McMillan, David Locke, Bobby Cox, Jeremiah Johnson joined us live earlier in the program. We podcast these at pacers.com/sound. They are up shortly after the show's conclusion. With us now, live, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. Mark, let's start last night. What did you see? Obviously, defense as that main issue, but a little bit of a closer look, the major problems last night against Denver.
Yeah, it certainly starts with defense. I give Denver a lot of credit. You know, they're a good team. They have a losing record, but to me, they're a winning team. I mean, the way they've played since the Pacers played them in London back in January, you know, they are a winning team since then. In fact, that game seemed to spark their turnaround. And you look at their individual talent, starting with Jokic, you know, they're a team on the rise. So they were playing well. And the Pacers, you know, really, as it has so often this year, comes down to having that sense of urgency at the start of a game. You know, now, as you know, I'm kind of a fan of slow starts, but you can't let it get out of hand, and you have to recover quickly if you get down in the first quarter. And that didn't happen last night. The Pacers didn't really get it going till the fourth quarter, and then probably it was partially Denver kind of relaxing a bit with a 23-point lead early in the fourth quarter too. We see that happen a lot. So you know, the Pacers just right now, there's just something missing. You know, they haven't found consistency. The chemistry, while these guys get along well, isn't quite there on the court, and they're still searching for things. You know, Nate McMillan's talking about the possibility now of adjusting the starting lineup. We saw him start Monte Ellis in the second half last night because with Glenn Robinson the third out with that calf muscle issue for a couple weeks, you know, he wants more size in the second unit. So here we are, 10 games to go in the season, and the Pacers are still kind of tinkering a bit and trying to figure things out.
Mark Monteith is with us. A question I asked in the locker room with mixed results. Sense of urgency, do you see that as being an issue last night and in general, or are these problems more X's and O's?
I think sense of urgency is certainly an issue. And, you know, we've talked before, every team has a personality, and this team's personality is to be pretty laid back. You know, it's a nice group of guys and calm, and they get along fine, that type of thing. But, you know, you need somebody in there that injects adrenaline into the situation now and then. And the urgency issue has been there all season. They certainly have responded well to their worst losses. And I would expect him to respond well tomorrow when they play Philadelphia at the Fieldhouse. But they haven't really been able to maintain it for long. They did have they've had a couple win streaks, but then they have some losing streaks too. So it's just gone back and forth that way, and it happens in the course of a game too, where if they are they get ahead and they're comfortable, you know, they relax, and if they're in a desperate situation given the score, they respond like they did last night in the fourth quarter. So it's just that urgency issue has been there, and it, to me, it reflects just kind of the overall team personality. You don't have the guys, you know, who are naturally energy guys, and you know, you need some guys. You don't want 12 guys like that necessarily. It might be chaotic, but you need somebody like that who can be who can rub off on teammates, who can be a little bit contagious, and you know, that's just something that the front office, you know, will continue to work with in the offseason regarding the roster, I think.
Mark, the bench has played better lately. A part of that is Monte Ellis, who's been really effective here in March. Glenn Robinson III, though, is down, and it could be a little bit more of an extended issue. You look at that bench unit without him. Only 9 minutes the entire season had been played with all three of Aaron Brooks, Rodney Stuckey, and Monte Ellis on the floor. How do you see them adjusting, missing maybe their only small forward in that second unit?
Yeah, and you get into, that's where you get into chemistry issues, because if you know they haven't played together all season, they're naturally going to not be real familiar with one another, or you know, be completely in sync out there. So you know, that's not anybody's fault. That's just reality. So it'll take some time. You know, I think they'll miss Glenn's defense more than anything. He's really a solid wing defender, probably second, you know, next to Paul George, maybe the team's best defender. So they have to make up for that. They were pretty good last night. In fact, they got extended minutes, you know, out there, and they made a bit of a comeback there. So that was good to see, but you can't necessarily count on Aaron Brooks hitting three-pointers like he did last night, that type of thing. So this is the challenge Nate McMillan has right now of, you know, getting groups together that have some chemistry and that complement one another, that have some size, who can defend. You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Monte Ellis in the starting lineup tomorrow and C.J. Miles coming off the bench again to have a little more size and to have a three-point threat out there. And, you know, that's just, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is when you have injuries like this late in the season. So the Pacers, I think, have good depth. They have, you know, plenty of guys who can play and can contribute, but, you know, you would like for them to be accustomed to playing with one another by this point of the season and have some chemistry, and that's not going to be the case, but hopefully it doesn't take too long.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us. We're going to take a short break and close out the show. Mark will join us again live coming up in just a moment on Pacers Weekly.
Catch summer fever with your Indiana Fever. In May, the Indiana Fever will begin their 18th season in the WNBA. They would like to include you on their roster. Buy a Fan's Choice 5-game pack for just $105. You choose the games based on your schedule and get access to special events to meet your favorite Fever players. The fun begins in May. Call today and get your Fever Fan's Choice 5-game pack. Call 317-917-2528.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
It's a sold-out crowd here, folks. This game could be an NBA classic. These two teams.
The Andersons got tickets to the game? How'd they get tickets?
Did you try NBATickets.com?
But the game is sold out.
The games are never sold out at NBATickets.com.
Never?
Yep, and they're never fake.
Your dad's a genius. Grab the keys. We're going to the game.
Always available, always 100% authentic. NBATickets.com, the official ticket marketplace of the NBA.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is LaVoy Allen. We're proud that Bankers Life is the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. Every year, Bankers Life works with thousands of Indiana families like yours, offering insurance and retirement solutions that meet your needs today and for the life of your retirement. With offices across Indiana, Bankers Life has an insurance agent in your community. Learn more at bankerslife.com.
Bankers Life is the marketing brand of Bankers Life and Casualty Company. Select policies sold by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and Bankers Conseco Life Insurance Company, which is authorized to sell insurance in New York.
Wrapping up Pacers Weekly, live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis, I'm Pat Boylan. Mark Monteith still with us as the Pacers look to nail down a playoff spot. Mark, they're 36-36. That's good for seventh position. They're just a game out of fifth, and they're 2.5 ahead of the Bulls and the Pistons, who are in ninth. As you look at the playoff picture, Chicago and Detroit just keep floundering in that bottom position. Milwaukee's been hot. Atlanta has not, six in a row. Indiana, until last night, had been trading wins and losses. When you look at the playoff picture, what do you see?
Well, I think they're still in good shape. You know, last night was a disappointment. And as you and I talked before the game, if they had last night and gotten these next two home games, they would not mathematically have it locked up, but really, you know, for all intents and purposes, would have it locked up. So, you know, you get the next two home games and a few more. I think they're still in good shape. Detroit and Chicago are not trending in the right direction, certainly. Atlanta's struggling, too. So there's still opportunity to get things going and to be in the playoffs. I still really do believe the Pacers will be a playoff team. You would like to avoid that eighth spot and play Cleveland in the front round, in the first round. But, you know, obviously the Pacers have some work to do to get things going. I think they'll bounce back from the disappointment of last night's game, but I only say that because they've done that all year. When they've had their quote-unquote worst losses, they have bounced back. But I still think their playoff prospects are good. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, nobody beneath them, nobody who's out of the picture now, is trending in the right direction. So Pacers could probably play 500 ball the rest of the year and be in the playoffs, and they're going to try to do better than that.
Mark, we got about a minute here. I want to close with this. Your recent story on Judy Warren. She was honored for Hickory Night last night at the Fieldhouse. And what the fans have to look coming up forward to on Pacers.com.
Well, certainly a lot of game coverage. You know, right now all the focus is on the team. You know, they're in a playoff race, and there's some really important games coming up. There will be another decade night coming up on April 6th. So we'll take a look at the current decade going into that. But yeah, last night was Judy Warren, and, you know, she's really a historical figure in Indiana basketball along the lines of Bobby Plump and Oscar Robertson and some others. The first Miss Basketball in 1976 led Warsaw to the first girls' state championship in 1976. And looking back at the newspaper coverage of that, I was impressed with the fact that everybody took them pretty seriously. You know, nobody was kind of looking down their nose at, oh, isn't it nice these girls are getting to play basketball now. They were treated fairly and taken, you know, as serious athletes, and that was good to see. So she certainly deserves to be recognized and remembered as one of the historical figures in Indiana's basketball history. And there's a story up. I did a story with her on Pacers.com that's still there.
And you can view his work there. That's Mark Monteith. Thanks for your time here this morning, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
Pacers are in action next against Philadelphia. It's at home Sunday, March 26th, 6 o'clock tip. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there if you can't. 5:30 is when the Kroger pregame show starts on television with Jeremiah Johnson, also at 5:30. That'll wrap it up for Pacers Weekly. A thanks to our producer, David Deering. Coming up next, the beatdown with Kyle Knezovich and Matt Mitrione. Thanks for listening to Pacers.